It is my great privilege and honor this morning to welcome to St. Luke's and to welcome to our chancel, to welcome to this Lord's table, my brother, my colleague, and my friend, Eric Powell. Eric is the pastor of Dodd-Sterling United Methodist Church. He and I started serving our respective churches about the same time and have had the pleasure of getting to know each other since. But Dodd-Sterling United Methodist Church, many of you may know, is a church in the Browns Mill neighborhood on the southeast side of Atlanta. And St. Luke's has enjoyed a long-standing relationship and partnership with Dodd-Sterling that spans about 25 years now. And we have spent time building houses together for others. We have spent time breaking bread together. And we have spent time getting to know each other. But we are also experiencing, Eric and I are, a movement and a growth in this partnership and relationship that felt worthy of coming to preach together to talk about. So Eric, I want to welcome you. I want to welcome your lovely wife, Paula. Welcome, Paula. We are so glad that you are here. And we also want to welcome those dutiful worshipers at Dodd-Sterling United Methodist Church who will be joining us by video cast today. We welcome Dodd-Sterling United Methodist congregation to this worship in a non-contemporaneous way. But we are thrilled to be related to all of you. And Eric, I am especially thrilled to be related to you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I bring you greetings this morning from Dodd-Sterling United Methodist Church. They wanted to be here with me, but they have not accomplished the goal of being in two places at the same time. So I graciously asked them to take care of home there, and they graciously sent me here. So they send their greetings, and they wish that they could be here with you. So we are happy to be here. We're grateful for this opportunity of worshiping and being in partnership together.
So, by the movement of the Holy Spirit, this date on which our scripture was set over a year ago is also the occasion upon which Eric and I would decide to, that it was convenient to preach together and to bring our congregations together explicitly in this way. And it just so happens, because God is amazing, that this scripture, you know, has been intended for us to proclaim together for a long time. And I think as we dive into it together, you'll hear why. But we are venturing in our Easter journey through the Bible. We are venturing into the book of Acts, also known as the Acts of the Apostles. And if you've spent any time with this book, you know that in Acts, God's Spirit carries the faithful farther than they ever imagined they would go. They learn new languages, they go to new places, they do uncomfortable things, and they discover they have more power than they could possibly comprehend.
So then this book really is appropriate for St. Luke Presbyterian Church and Dodd-Sterling United Methodist Church to come together. Our churches have discovered that over 25 years of relationship together, that God is always up to more than we think. And it feels like right now that we're in the middle of another wondrous chapter of our stories together.
It surely does. And it is a joy to gather together and name that, and also invite everyone at St. Luke's Presbyterian Church and everyone at Dodd-Sterling United Methodist Church. If this spirit hasn't yet caught and captivated you and swept you away into relationship and activity, there is just an opportunity ahead of us. And so we are all invited to be part of what's going on here with God and two churches.
As we look at our story together, we are, it seems that Peter and Cornelius had a lot in common, the very same way that St. Luke and Dodd-Sterling has in common. However, notice that these men are very different. Cornelius is a privileged, powerful, faithful and generous Roman military leader. Peter, motormouth Peter, impetuous Peter. He's a fisherman who had followed the healing of a preacher of God and has discovered that no sin or sinner could stomp him out. They didn't walk the same circles. They were told that they were different and that they were to stay apart. Romans did not consort with Jews, and Jews were prohibited from hanging out with anyone who wasn't like them.
These clearly different people of the ancient world were called by God to be together. Mm-hmm. This text, very matter-of-factly, describes the exact way by which Eric and I were brought together. Mm-hmm. And I believe it describes, well, how our churches have come into relationship together. But Eric and I, in listening to this text together, agreed that this is our story.
Right.
Because an angel of the Lord appeared to Peter and appeared to Cornelius and told them to go find each other. And in the case of my experience in this relationship, that angel of the Lord, his name is Daryl Moore. Daryl Moore, shortly after I began as your pastor here, said, there's somebody you need to go meet. I said, great, I love meeting new people. You know, as soon as I get settled in here, I'll appreciate that chance. And Daryl said, okay, how about Friday? And I said, well, you know, this weekend's a little busy. Well, how about Monday? So a persistent angel brought me into a relationship that I would quickly come to discover was life-giving and life-changing for me. So thank you, Angel Daryl. And this is how our relationship began. We were told to be together, and it was the right thing.
In my case, the angel, you know, in the African-American church, the pastor carries a pretty good amount of weight, can kind of get to do some things. But that was not the case here, because my angel was in the form of the Dodd-Sterling congregation, who said, St. Luke got a new pastor, and he hasn't been there much longer than you, so you need to meet him. Wait a minute, that's kind of backwards. You telling me what to do? No, you need to go see him and meet him. We've had a relationship with St. Luke, and we want to keep that relationship. Kind of like when your mama tell you to do something, and you just know that that's probably a good thing to do. So we set up the time. Now, I want you to know that David and I did not know each other from a can of paint. He had no idea what I looked like. You would think in this age of technology that they would have given us a picture of each other and said, this is what he's going to look like. No, I'm sitting in the restaurant looking for a guy, and then I see a guy coming in the restaurant looking for a guy. And so we hook up, and he says, you're Eric. I said, I hope you're David.
And so here we are, the product of an arranged relationship that has taken good hold. We were told to be together, and upon gathering together at last, at the IHOP, we discovered what God had been trying to tell us all along, which was that we are better together. And that has so clearly proven true in my experience, learning from Eric and listening to him. And ever since we got together that first fateful day, admittedly, it has been very clear in all the time we spend together and even in the times between that God is just up to something with all this. That has been abundantly clear.
Like in the case of Cornelius and Peter, God called us to be together. God declared a new thing, and this new thing was to undo divisions. It was to remake divided people into a new union that was full of the Holy Spirit and power, God's love and God's will are more than we can possibly understand. And just let the record show that I learned as much from David as David says he learns from me. So it is a mutual relationship.
Well, I'm grateful to God for this. I'm grateful to God for this. And I am grateful for this incomprehensible love that God gives to all of us and the push, the nudge that that gives to each of us to practice that love with our lives. And in fact, it seems that that's what this chapter of Scripture in which we are immersed today has to speak. Because Peter and Cornelius were called to be together. That's all they knew. They didn't know what was going to happen once they got together. They just showed up at the IHOP. But Cornelius, it turns out, upon their discerning how to be together, Cornelius decided, you know what, I have the gift of listening. I want to hear my brother Peter speak. And Peter brought his gifts of experience and witness to the incredible resurrection of Jesus that was still captivating his heart. They exchanged their gifts in this story we read today in humility and in openness to what God was doing.
Now, the result of this is that there was a new community that was bound together by baptism that would result in the spread of the good news of the gospel's power across the region. Did you hear that this is a Roman military leader and a fisherman community organizer who got together, and everyone who witnessed it became captivated by their love, by their joy, and by their compassion? In this passage of Scripture, I wonder if God had so much to do with this meeting and the faith and the relationship that would follow. I wonder what if they had not gone. You know, life is choice driven. So we always have a choice to do what we're supposed to do. When you think about this, what if they had listened to their cultures? What if they had listened to the voice of their own fears? What if they had even listened to their own doubts? What would they have missed out on if they had not listened? If they had not gone? If they hadn't come to understand and believe in a new way.
Eric's asking this question in our wrestling with the scripture we are here to preach today illuminated the scripture for me in a remarkable way. Because by asking this question, what if they hadn't listened? What if they hadn't gone? He prompted me to reflect about, you know, what if we had not heeded the call of the angel Daryl and others to gather together and break bread together and see about what God is up to? What might I have missed out on in my life by denying myself the opportunity to be related to learn from, and to grow with this wonderful pastor and preacher, Eric? And what if our churches had never decided to cross the boundaries between us and to get together and be a radical sort of fellowship across congregations? What if that hadn't happened? Where would we be now? What would our life feel like? And it had me thinking similarly about all the moments in our life of being faithful people and striving to be. All those moments in which we kind of turn down the opportunities. Mm-hmm. We hear them, but it's not always easy to heed them. Things come up like it seems like too much work at this time. That feels a little strange. That might be a little outside of the comfort zone, so that might be a little much for us. I'm too busy. There's so much going on. Maybe not right now. or that's just so far to go. There's going to be traffic between here and there, and that is going to suck the life out of my soul. Or I would have to give up something else in order to make this new thing happen. And how would I do that? This kind of reflection has prompted me to think about all those moments in which we hear but struggle to heed the call of God at work in our lives. And I am grateful for that illumination.
I know one of the things, if I had not done what Dodd Sterling said, I might be pastoring another congregation. But we have come to a place in our relationship, not just Dodd Sterling and St. Luke, but with David and Eric. I've come to a point now to where I'm afraid to not follow God. God has shown me so much. I have seen so much that now I'm afraid not to follow God. In following God, God requires us sometime to listen. Not just hear, but to listen. And when you listen to somebody, you attentively engage them. You put other things away. It's very much like if you're in conversation with somebody and while you're talking, the cell phone rings, and either you or they pick up the phone. You feel so disrespected that here I am in your face, and you take that over me. When David and I get together to share, we turn off our phones. We both understand and truly believe that the world can function without us for the time that we're together. And when we get together and we listen, we have learned to look past what we see. We have learned to look past what we think. We've learned to look past what we feel. And when I listen to David, because we're obviously somewhat different.
Reverse.
In listening to David, what I've also learned to do is listen to the heart of God. And because I've listened to the heart of God, I hear things that I would not have heard before.
That listening is so profoundly operative in this scripture we received today, and it has also been operative, as Eric and I are already expressing, in our personal relationship and in our relationship as leaders of our churches, but it is also so clearly unfolding between our congregations in ways that we want to make sure that we start to name and say out loud. Because it is true that just a couple months ago, we gathered for a monthly breakfast on a Saturday morning and invited our brothers and sisters at Dodd Sterling to join us for that breakfast, and we had a lovely time breaking bread together and also listening to Brother Eric share some about what he is passionate about, both about following Jesus Christ and about following where Jesus Christ is leading our congregations together. And conversation followed, and it was intriguing, but you know, you might imagine that like some other things, eventually the opportunity and intrigue of an occasion like that, you know, it can kind of fizzle out. And that happens naturally with lots of things. But what happened in the case of a couple months ago is, you know, about a week to say 10 days later, after that breakfast time together, I got a couple of calls and nudges from various people in the congregation. Hey, Pastor, I'd like to have a little bit of your time. There's something that's been working on my heart that I'd like to share with you. There's something that seems like I should be about, and I want to know what might be possible in terms of a new thing for me. I said, oh, well, sure, whatever that is, you know, let's get together and talk about it. So I had three separate conversations in a week span with St. Luke's Presbyterians who were all saying together and independently of one another, you know, I am feeling moved by the discord and division among people out there in the world And I am feeling moved by the longstanding, deep, and now trusting relationship that has come to exist against the grain of the world between Dodd Sterling and St. Luke's Church. But I'm feeling moved to do something more. And that doing something more has followed rather naturally by just going and listening to Eric. So some of these interested parties, I'm not trying to embarrass anybody, but I've already done it to Angel Darrell, so let me just name that the what is now, I think, descriptively being come to understand as the Tom McIntosh and Daryl Moore renovation love machine decided to come and talk to Eric about what skills they might have to bring to an opportunity with Dodd Sterling Church. And similarly, Dan and Sally Joyce talked to me separately about what can we do? They went and listened to Eric. What can we do? What with the gifts we have to bring, what can we do to deepen this relationship and be part of the work that God is doing in bringing us together? Mm-hmm. So this relationship that has been for me a personal one is also so clearly a congregational one. And it is taking hold. It is spreading, and good things are happening as a result.
Mm-hmm. Again, as I have listened to David and as I've listened to the heart of God, I have heard and have felt some things that the founder of Methodism would say, that when he had his experience at Altar Gates, he said, "My heart was strangely warmed." And you don't get that feeling just talking to somebody that's ordinary. It's an extraordinary feeling, and it has to come from an extraordinary source. And in our talking together, we literally look forward to sharing with each other, and it's to the point to where we have such anticipation. Because in case you haven't realized it, we serve an awesome God. We serve a God who is as unpredictable can be. And for me, that's exciting, because it puts me in the posture of when God says something, then all I say is, "What's next? What's next?"
So in our story today, God gives Peter a vision. And Peter finds that to be a curious vision, but he hears clearly about it, that he's supposed to go and find Cornelius. That is supposed to happen, that encounter. And then, once he is in the relationship, once he is there to be heard and to listen to his brother Cornelius, it hits him. Peter gets it. And Peter names it in the last verses we read today. Peter says, "Now I understand. Now I understand what that vision was about. Now I understand why I'm here. Mm-hmm. Now I understand why this is all going on." Mm-hmm. He says, "I understand because in God there is no partiality." And can we think about how awesome a claim that is? That in God there is no partiality. And so if on earth it is to be as it is in heaven, and in God there is no partiality, then what would it possibly mean for us here to consider building our lives and to consider building a world with God in which there is no partiality, in which there are no distinctions among people, in which equality between people is a given, and in which our differences, visible and prevalent as they are cherished, not feared, are embraced as an opportunity to grow and be more together instead of independently floundering apart. Mm-hmm. This is the Scripture's proclamation for the church for eternity. This is something made new in Jesus Christ that Peter gets and then he names. Mm-hmm. And then the Spirit moves and sweeps them away, carries them in power, and carries the gospel far and wide through them.
When it comes to God giving us instructions, I hope we recognize that there's some things we don't have to figure out. God's already figured it out. All he calls on us to do is to be obedient, to trust him, to love him. All we have to do is follow his instructions. And when I think about that, I remember the time when I was in uniform and there were certain commanders that I served with, and I had such confidence in these commanders that whatever they told us to do, we just believed that they had the leadership, they had the ability to get the mission accomplished, regardless of what the mission was. I've researched, and I have found nobody has the established track record that God has. Everything God has said he would do, he has done. And when we have allowed God to be God, we find out that he does it just the way he says it. Why is that? It's because God is not a man that he should lie. So he's not even capable of breaking his word. And God shared with me, or should I say, I learned from God, that if I could put that kind of confidence and trust in a man, imagine what would happen if I would put that kind of trust and confidence in God. So I'm truly at a point in my life as a Christian and as a pastor, and as our relationship with St. Luke and Dodd Sterling, I'm just foolish enough to believe God. I don't have no better sense than to believe what he says, that God is going to deliver just what he said he was going to deliver. God said in his word, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the minds of men, women, boys, and girls, the things that I have in store for them that love me. Saying, look, I'll share with you what I share with Dodd Sterling. We got the easy part. All we have to do is continue to love God, continue to trust God, and in both cases, God will open the windows of heaven and pour us out, not trinkle, not sprinkle, but pour us out a blessing that we would not have room enough to receive. God has great things in store for us. I'm excited about that. We say, I'm going to run on and see what the end's going to be. Don't know what it's going to be like, but I want to be there when it happens. I am grateful to God for allowing me to be one of his children, to be one of his pastors, and to be in partnership with a sibling congregation who I believe, like Peter and Cornelius, they get it. They get it. In spite of all of what you may see, hear, think, or felt, you get it. That God is no respecter of person. With God, there is no impartiality. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Eric.
Thank you.
Friends, I can't think of anything better for us to do together right now than to stand and say what it is that we believe together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Eric, you want to come say it with me? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Friends, we have so much for which to be grateful every day, and especially this day. So let us, out of gratitude, return a portion of the abundance that God has given each of us to support the work that God continues to do through this church and all churches.